This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're talking about The Sexless Marriage Fix. It's a new book by a good colleague of mine, Dr. Berta Foss Morgan. And here's what the reviewers have to say about this book, and I'm quoting, "An accurate, comprehensive, compassionate, up-to-date, and medically validated action plan for rebooting your sexuality." And who said that? Well, yours truly. Ronald Hoffman, MD, host of a nationally syndicated radio show and author of How to Talk with Your Doctor. So I'm on the jacket of the book, and thank you for inviting me to review it and comment on it. And those are heartfelt sentiments, because it really is a comprehensive look at the problem and how to address it. And there are fixes. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, we mentioned earlier low testosterone. You mentioned some of the signs of low testosterone. What are some of the causes of low testosterone?
Well, elite athleticism. Sometimes people have hemochromatosis, and people, doctors don't often check for the iron, total iron binding capacity.
Because it damages all organs. It damages your liver especially, but it can actually destroy your testes, right?
Mm-hmm. Also, high prolactin. That's something, I mean, we haven't talked about the labs. The labs are much more mm-hmm. inclusive.
So you don't just check for testosterone, because if your doctor says, "Hey, you know, I checked your testosterone's pretty good, you know, it's the average for a 55-year-old guy, so you're fine."
Let me say this. Levin is low normal, and they're 11.2. They say they're okay.
Yeah. Okay. Boom.
Well, let me just quickly run through the labs for a man.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
He needs a complete blood count, because we need to make sure the hemoglobin and hematocrit are not too high.
Right.
Testosterone can increase that. Yep. The PSA, FSH, LH, total and free testosterone, estradiol, estrone, dihydrotestosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone sulfate, cortisol, iron, ferritin, TSH, reverse T3, free T3, thyroid antibodies, and zinc. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit more complicated.
And I think in the book you even mentioned, you know, androstenedione and, you know, some of those other things that are a little more obscure. Cortisol, perhaps, even, because, you know, high levels of cortisol are interfere with testosterone, right?
Right. And DHEA can convert, think of the word date, so D is DHEA. A is androstenedione, which can convert into estrone. Estrone is found on the fat cells. And the T is for testosterone, and the E is for estradiol. Mm-hmm. And we do not know who has the enzymatic capacity to, some people stay at DHEA and some people go forward. So there's a lot of biochemistry to this. You just can't get a testosterone mm-hmm. level, okay?
Yeah, I do want to talk about DHEA, you know, maybe since we were on that subject. DHEA can be an effective libido enhancer. It's not as powerful as testosterone, but it's also not as androgenic. So it actually lends itself better to supplementation in women who may be worried about hair loss or oily skin or acne. And I find it actually really makes a big difference for women, a little less so for men, because maybe men have, you know, their DHEA is overwhelmed by their testosterone, but it can make a difference for men too, right? It's available over the counter too, which is a handy thing.
Right. However, you have to be careful because of those conversions. So you have to get those laboratory studies. But DHEA, Dr. Fleckis says, that it is the hormone for sexuality. It's a great boost for women for sexuality. DHEA decreases abdominal fat, which makes women crazy. And then I think they think sometimes they're fat and they don't want to have sex because
Another deterrent, yes, that sometimes, you know, as women get older and they're, you know, maybe less so with men. Men don't care as much, you know, maybe, you know,
how, but they don't. wander around naked and big belly.
Yeah, they're less attuned to it. But women, that may be, it's one of those, turn the lights out phenomena, they just don't have a good body image past a certain age because there are changes. Some of them, are changes that are irrevocable due to aging, and some are because of poor lifestyle habits.
Right, and DHA is the most abundant hormone in our bodies. It's in every cell. Now, women who have a DHA deficiency have clitoral atrophy, and that's going to make it more difficult mm-hmm. to reach climax. They also lose that pubic fat, the Mont de Venus, the Mount of Venus.
Mm-hmm.
They lose their body hair, so I always ask them, this is a way to tell without a lab, are you still shaving your legs as much as you did and under your arms? And they say, hardly ever. I say, well, you have a DHA deficiency. And dry eyes, how many times do we hear,
mm-hmm.
oh, dry eyes, dry, and they're on restasis and all these other things. DHA will often restore that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have decreased or no libido and or climax. So DHA is a very important hormone.
Mm-hmm.
It won't probably be over the counter forever, but okay.
Yeah, but that's another story. I think the regulators are kind of circling, sharpening their knives on DHEA. And in some ways appropriately, because I really prefer that patients get checked out. Maybe they're taking too much. Maybe they're, don't know the right amount. They need to be monitored.
Too much.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you tell too much.
Yeah, what happens?
They'll have greasy skin
mm-hmm.
and greasy hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they might have a pimple on their chin
mm-hmm.
and hairs because it is anabolic like testosterone. So it has to be dosed properly. And I know you're kind of against cortisol, but Dr. Hertog does prescribe cortisol on occasion
mm-hmm.
with DHA. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That might be appropriate in some cases. So coming back to testosterone, some of the causes of low testosterone. I find a big issue with testosterone, I'm sure you're aware of it, is sleep. And a real perfect storm for low testosterone is overweight men who are metabolic syndrome and they have sleep apnea. That's just absolutely devastating to testosterone, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing we need to talk about a little bit is oxytocin.
Yep.
That's it's a fascinating hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Oxytocin. In America, we think of it as it pushes the baby out and
mm-hmm.
it pushes the breast to make milk.
Mm-hmm.
But it is they use it, and Dr. Hertog says if a woman takes 20 minutes or longer to reach climax, or mid climax and it was a whimper, they need oxytocin. It will shorten the time to climax and increase the intensity. It also increases.
It's known as the love hormone. I mean, it has actually been shown that oxytocin increases after sex, and it increases even with a hug, and it increases.
Just hugging.
maybe you watch like a romantic movie, your oxytocin goes up.
I think we're producing some oxytocin right now because we're having a very interesting conversation.
I'm not even sure whether it has to be about sex. It could be just having an interesting conversation and connecting in a certain way. So, oxytocin is also definitely increased by breastfeeding for the woman. So this is a real benefit to women who breastfeed because oxytocin is pleasurable. It's relaxing. It's good for mood. It relieves headaches. I mean, it's a really wonderful hormone.
Fibromyalgia.
And
it decreases carbohydrate cravings in women.
Hmm.
I don't find that men have so many carbohydrate cravings as women, but it decreases it for women. And again, the SSRIs and SNRIs decrease oxytocin and block the oxytocin mm-hmm. action.
Do you ever use oxytocin for migraines? Because you ever use
fibromyalgia.
And fibromyalgia. Wow. Okay.
And how I discovered that is I was listening to my patients and they said if they had sexual relations, they have fibromyalgia. And if they had sexual relations with their husbands and reached climax, the next day they had much less pain.
Okay.
And then I researched it and there you go.
It's certainly there's something to be said for oxytocin and sleep quality because it really, there's nothing like, middle of the night, some action to help put you to sleep.
It lowers oxytocin, though. It lowers cortisol, oxytocin. But it's an anxiolytic. It actually works on the amygdala, mm-hmm. and it calms the amygdala down. We seem to have very, in the Northeast and New York, we have seem to be very, very stressed.
Right. We have an epidemic of low oxytocin here in the tri-state area, I think. So, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the safety of testosterone. You know, that's controversial, and many doctors are loath to prescribe it for that very reason. In fact, they even say, you know, forget prostate cancer. I mean, that's a potentially concern, but they say it's bad for the heart. So what say you?
What say I? There are more receptors around the heart for testosterone there than there are anywhere else in your body, including your testicles. And I'm sure you're familiar with Dr. Morgan Taller, the urologist from Harvard. And he wrote Testosterone for Life, and there are many research papers in the back to prove that testosterone in and of itself does not produce cancer.
And he's at Harvard, very credible expert on the subject, right?
And then New England Journal of Medicine, 2004, prostate cancer actually increases when testosterone levels decline. I think the problem is if testosterone converts to estrogen, then we have an increase in prostate cancer. Think about what estrogen does to women. It makes us bumps, right? And so, and for a man, if he's high estrogen, the prostatic cells are going to hypertrophy, mm-hmm. and they can possibly convert into, you know, cancerous cells. Okay, mm-hmm. and also in the International Journal of Urology, there was another art. There's articles, there's so many articles. Because I'm sure you're familiar with the Huggins study, and that was just on one patient, and we've just held on to that for the last 40 years. So,
right. So there is evidence that testosterone, because it invigorates men and because it helps men lose body fat, it certainly has an emotional benefit for some men, since emotions do have something to do with heart disease, that it would actually reduce the risk for heart disease. And it seems to be ideal in patients with diabetes, especially type 2 type diabetes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's what the studies are showing.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting a little dose of New York City authenticity in the background because
yeah, I have the beach behind me.
So that's a nice background sound. But for our listening audience, I've just signed a contract for soundproof windows that I'm going to have installed.
Okay.
But I'm on a waiting list, and they probably won't be able to put them in until quarter one 2018. So something to look forward to is
like it. I know where you are.
you may miss the ambiance of New York City, the pulse of New York in the background. So now, what about testosterone for women? Is that a good idea?
Absolutely. I think I might be one of the only physicians in the United States. I prescribe testosterone by injection for women.
Oh. That's a little unusual,
I take it every Friday by an insulin syringe, mm-hmm. A lower dose, of course, but right. then that means you have to raise the estrogen to balance. So, because every hormone raises and lowers other hormones.
Is that so you can go salsa dancing on Saturday night? Because I know that's one of your hobbies.
Yeah. Well, when I was competing in ballroom dancing, it was a good thing they weren't doping the ballroom dancers because... I was on a lot of stuff. Okay, but
you throw some elbows there in the ballroom, right?
Well, yeah, in the past. And do we want to talk about penile injections? Because I don't think too many people know about that.
Gee, that came out of nowhere. But yeah, go ahead. Sure,
yeah, it's important.
Okay.
So in 1983, at this American Urological Association meeting, there was this maverick British physiologist Giles Brindley, who did some urologic theater during his lecture, and he said, I just injected myself at the 2 o'clock position with the papaverine, phentolamine, prostaglandin, mm-hmm.
yep.
and I will have, and about 15 minutes later, he had an erection.
And that's very hard to achieve in an operating theater, you know, like the galleries, you know, yes. it's like they have seats going up into the way up
but
in the sky.
Did, He did one better. So, yep. so then he went out into the audience and took his pants down so they would know it wasn't, it was a full erection and it wasn't a fake erection.
A true medical pioneer. Yeah.
A medical maverick. I love them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for men who have prostatectomies, mm-hmm. the urologist will say,
yep.
you may never have an erection again.
Yep.
And they say, just stuff it in. To which I respond, you stuff it in, your bride. No, because you're the urologist, and you're mm-hmm. the ones who should be prescribing these penile injections. And it helps. And men
it is a surefire way to get an erection virtually under almost any circumstances, you know, whether you have nerve damage or circulatory damage.
Right.
It does do the job. A little less of a natural thing than normal stimulation, but it'll do the job to help you perform intercourse.
And then many times what I find is they do it 1, 2, 3, 5, 7 times, and then the 8th time they forget, and they're mm-hmm. okay.
It can be a jump start. That's right. It can be a jump start. Now, the other thing that, in this, again, you know, we're talking about stuff that sounds icky to some people, but penile implants, you know, when I was in my training, back in the 1980s, my medical training, they were doing some of the first penile implants. They really liked to do them at the VA hospital because a lot of the vets were smokers, they had poor circulation, they had diabetes, and they, you know, kind of sad sacks, and they wanted to revive their sex life, so they gave them penile implants. And they were very primitive then, but they worked. And basically, they were sort of like a squeegee, you know, they'd sort of pump them up, you know, with a hand device, and, you know, it would, like, hydraulically lift you. But they've really come a long way now to achieve some similitude to a normal erection, right?
Yes. You mean with the penile injection?
No, I'm talking about the implants. I'm talking implants, where the actual surgical implants.
Okay. The men I know who have had them, it's not very comfortable that there's these little blow-up balls in the testicles and they have to squeeze them and
okay.
then they get an erection. And from what they tell me, it's not the best way. They don't feel comfortable doing that.
Okay, so the preferable alternative are the injections. A little scary, you know, you have to inject into the penis.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's usually, you're not going to, you know, go to the doctor's office for this. You'll have to be trained to do this on your own. And it's scary,
yes.
But it can be, if the goal is, if you're motivated, you can do this.
So I had this husband-wife, and they did not want the whole Dr. Morgan program. All he wanted, he read my book and realized I knew about penile injections. He came to me with his wife, and he said, I have not had sex with my wife for 2 years, and we miss it very much. So I quickly got a read on him. He didn't want the whole shebang and replace the nutrients and all the other things. So I taught him to inject, gave him my cell number, and told him to call me later. And he called me later and said he had a chubby in the car. And then when he went home, he made love with his wife for the first time in 2 years. Okay, I didn't cure cancer, but I did a good thing for a marriage.
Mm-hmm. That's very gratifying. That's that, you know, you're doing some good. So let's talk about some of these natural remedies for ED versus mm-hmm. the conventional alternatives of Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, which are commonly prescribed. You do talk about some of the natural approaches. I find them somewhat helpful. But do you believe that they're efficacious, things with arginine and goat's rue and some of these other herbs?
My thoughts are they possibly have mild benefit, but you're coming to a physician, so why not use what a physician has
mm-hmm.
to prescribe,
mm-hmm.
which I after so many years works 90% of the time, if not more.
Do you have any problems with, I mean, a lot of people say, well, they're not natural, they may be harmful, it's artificial, there are side effects. What's your take on the various drugs?
Arginine and things like that?
No, I'm talking about the medications.
Oh, are you talking about Viagra and Cialis?
Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely have no problem with them. No. I offer that to men because testosterone will give you the libido,
mm-hmm.
but it won't make you be able to get keep an erection.
It won't fix the hydraulics, in other words.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. And also, we should really investigate, do they have coronary artery disease? Because mm-hmm. I often wonder if we're doing something perhaps not that healthy. We should. And, of course, I get them to try to lose weight, and then things, so we are addressing, and I get genomic and genetic testing for coronary artery diseases.
So you really are trying to do a holistic makeover on an individual or a couple, because if they feel better and they're healthier, better circulation, they're exercising, they're eating better, they're taking the right supplements, this can be helpful, but you'll also combine it with bioidentical hormones and sometimes medication and, you know, other techniques, right?
Right, absolutely.
You mentioned something called MSH, melanocyte-stimulating hormone, and I wasn't familiar with that when I read the book. What's that about?
You were or were not?
Okay. I wasn't. No. I mean, I know medically what it is, but I didn't know that it had applications here.
All right, so there's five hormones that are required for libido. Estrogen, testosterone, oxytocin, DHEA, and melanocyte-stimulating hormone.
Wow, it's kind of like the planet Pluto of the solar system, because it's way out there, and not a lot of people recognize that.
I know. That was a Dr. Hertog in Europe thing. So melanocyte, of course, is your melanin for your skin. So I do inject it in the summer, and I'm Middle Eastern. I get tan. And that way I can go out, and I'm nice and tan, so I'm not going to get burned. But MSH has another side effect.
So it stimulates the melanocytes. It would be something that makes these pigmented cells secrete more melanin,
right,
which is the pigment.
Right.
So it's a self-tanner in a way.
Correct. But there's another, just like Viagra had, you know, was for hypertension and, mm-hmm. and had a side effect. It does give you a strong sexual odor, and it makes you incredibly, how do I say this kindly, horny.
Okay.
So that's a side effect of MSH.
Okay.
So if we need
maybe that's
go
why
the
people just
route.
love to, you know, lie in the sun in the summer. You know, it's kind of like, you know, that's part of what's happening.
It is part of what's happening, but it really works, and it can be quite embarrassing because men who travel, they can be going through customs with an erection because they injected with MSH. But it is, if you need something else after estrogen, testosterone, oxytocin, and DHEA, it is a go-to, and it's wonderful.
It can be prescribed. Okay. Well, you know, you certainly have a lot of tools at your disposal. You developed a repertoire of approaches. You know, some of them, you know, psychological approaches, and some, you know, physical treatments that really seem to help address this problem. The book is The Sexless Marriage Fix, and the co-author, I'm talking because it's a collaboration between Dr. Robert Fleischer and today's guest, Roberta Foss Morgan. What's our take-home message for today's Intelligent Medicine? Is there, in addition to the book, are there additional resources that you might point people towards?
Well, I believe you had a wonderful author on The Sexy Brain. I read her book.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
That was an excellent book. And, of course, you know, Dr. Hertog, Dr. Hertog has a book, Oxytocin, Passion, Love, Sex, and that is a fascinating book as well.
And that was Dr. Berkson, Dr. Lindsay Berkson.
Yes.
As she now refers to herself as Dr. Devaki Berkson.
I think, yes, she had. Okay. She had a spiritual evolution or something and changed her name. Okay, good. But there are a lot of good books. And then, of course, always Dr. Hertog. So Dr. Hertog, what I have my patients do is get
For spelling, it's a little tricky. It's Hertoghe, right?
Correct. MD.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And his first name is Terry, Therry.
And for practitioners out there, those of you who want to become acquainted with this approach, and we do have healthcare practitioners, and I know that because you listen, so I know them probably some others.
I feel like you're with me all the time.
Oh, that's great. And so for healthcare practitioners, it might be worthwhile to attend one of Dr. Hertog's seminars to learn some innovative approaches along these lines, as well as gain a better appreciation of thyroid replacement therapy, which he's an expert in. All right, great. Well, your website, and for listeners who want to access your practice, you're located where, once again?
I'm in Haddonfield, New Jersey, and also Ventnor, V-E-N-T-N-O-R, New Jersey.
Goodness, where's that? What's that close to? Closer to Philly than to...
Atlantic City. Well, Haddonfield's 9 miles from Philadelphia.
Okay.
And Ventnor is 1 mile from Atlantic City.
Okay, so we're talking not...
an hour apart.
Not New York City area, more Philly metro area and
right.
Atlantic City. And you have a website as well?
Yes, it's drrobertamorgan.com.
Okay, and there's a newsletter as well, I believe?
I'm not good at that. Because, Dr. Hoffman, you have me reading so many books, I can't work on my website.
Okay.
Okay.
So the resources are there. The resources are there on your
yeah.
At DR.
There's something.
Roberta Morgan.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks very much for joining us today, and congratulations on the book, and I think it's going to help a lot of people because it's a pervasive problem, and there are fixes. The book, The Sexless Marriage Fix. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Roberta Morgan.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. I appreciate you having me on your show.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.